You're listening to a podcast from the Finnish Football Show. Yes, it's the Finnish Football Show. I'm Mark Wiltshire, joined today, as always, it seems lately, by Kekke Mullari. Hi, Kekke.
No moikka.
Good to see you. Kekke is freshly back from a visit to the motherland over here. I don't know how fresh you're feeling at the moment, mate.
I'm feeling pretty fresh, considering I was swimming in an Avanto yesterday. So, yeah, I'm still trying to warm up after that.
I think the Avanto kind of prepares you for winter. Once you've been in there a couple of times, you don't feel the cold around your ankles quite so much.
And I'll tell you what, I don't know what it's like where you are, mate, but I got the night bus from Jyväskylä down to Helsinki last night, and all along the way through Lahti and all those southern cities and towns, there was a big dump of snow. So everyone's woken up to a nice blanket of snow this morning.
Yeah, they have. Like in the south and the east, it's been like 25 centimetres. But around here, it's been clear. Nothing else. We've had enough. You know what? Winter can do one now. I'm really sick of it. Yeah. It feels like it has never ended. There's been snow on the ground since the end of October, and it's now early April. So, you know.
And it's time for football.
Well, yeah, it is time for football. Let's hope they've got the snow off the pitches. But we're gonna look today more at the international scene. Looking back at last week's Hawkeyed game against Estonia and some of the aftermath, I suppose, of those two games, and also look forward to the Helmerit, who have got their Euro 2025 qualifying games coming up. So we'll go through all of that and hopefully hear something from Mark Hayton about his trip to Helsinki to watch that Estonia game against Estonia as well. So why don't you, Kekke, just for, I don't know, good housekeeping, we previewed this game in the last episode. Why don't you take us through the Estonia match?
Sure. I mean, it was, for all intents and purposes, a meaningless friendly, but we played the game there was a much changed lineup, as you would expect. I don't know whether River was still under pressure or feeling the pressure, because as I said, there wasn't really anything to play for except for pride and getting one over our Baltic Sea neighbours, cousins, whatever you want to call them. But much changed lineup. Jesse Jordan in goal. Ilmari Niskanen came in, Artu Hoskonen and Richard Jensen were the centre-backs, a pairing that had been muted for the Wales game. But yeah, we had to wait until this game to see those two play together. Piru Soiri was out on the left in a back four. And then in midfield, Robin Lud, he was the only one who kept hold of his place started the Estonia game, having started the previous game against Wales. Robin Lud was named as captain as well. You had Kaan Kairanen in the middle and Anssi Suhonen on the left wing. And then up top, you had Fredrik Jensen, Benjamin Chelman and Oliver Antman. So, we were talking about those, quite a few of those names before the Wales game kicked off. But yeah, we got to see those players. To be fair, Estonia started the game quite brightly and had a chance after, 10 or 15 seconds or so. But didn't really trouble Jesse Jorinen too much. The Finland sort of settled into the game, I guess. The pitch didn't look all that.
Disaster, wasn't it? I mean, understandable. Like, we've just been whining about how heavy this winter's been. It's understandable, but geez.
Yeah, it did look a bit rough. It wasn't really conducive to a smooth passing game. But Finland sort of settled down, had a bit of a go. And you know, the I was really hoping that we would absolutely smash them, you know, and put a bit of confidence back on back into in on our face, a smile on our face, and a bit of confidence in for us again. But yeah, we had to wait quite a while. I think it was around, what was it, 30 odd minutes? Yeah, just after about 30 minutes, Benjamin Cherman was bundled over in the box, and Finland was awarded a penalty kick. Fredrik Jensen stepped up, saw his penalty kick saved, but managed to smash in the rebound, and that was 1-0. Yeah, it was. I mean, I don't know if you saw it, mate, or if you've got any thoughts on it. But there was people saying the penalty was a bit soft or whatever. But you know, yeah, referee saw fit to give it, and we went 1-0 up.
Yeah, I did watch the game. I mean, it was, in general, it was a bit of a dog of a game as well. I mean, the pitch didn't help. The ball wasn't running. You know, okay, it's the same for both teams. Everyone's played on bad pitches before, but when we really needed a performance after the Wales game to kind of, I don't know, at least end this period of games on a bit of a positive, and it was a bit of a damp squib. I didn't really enjoy it that much. I didn't make any notes. It wasn't really a protest, but I just wasn't really excited enough to make notes and follow the game as closely as I might. I might have had a couple of beers and put my notepad down.
Yeah, I mean, there was the odd thing to get excited about. I mean, just 8 minutes later, after that first goal, Oliver Antman was doing his thing down the wing there, and he put a cross in. And it was, I think it was Freddie Jensen again, got to the ball, and it sort of bundled its way over the Estonia goalie, made a bit of a hash of it. And, you know, I was quite pleased for Freddie, you know, to get a couple of goals, but UEFA put it down as an own goal
Well,
offence.
I think he doesn't even get an assist, really, does he? Because he maybe gets a second assist because he headed the ball, I think, or played the ball forward towards the goal. The defender then headed it up onto the underside of his own bar, and it came down and hit the keeper's hand before going in. So
That's it.
Freddie was almost as far away from that goal as I was.
Indeed, yeah. He looked a little bit embarrassed celebrating it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2-0 up. I mean, yeah, it was 2-0 up against Estonia at home. You know, this was what you're looking for, really, isn't it? But it was one of those, you know, like one was the rebounded penalty, and the other one was the dodgy ping pong own goal off their own keeper. So it was a little bit tricky to get excited about it. But yeah, I mean, we did have the ball in the net a third time. Oliver Antman scored after 57 minutes, but that was ruled out for offside. And yeah, it's after then it sort of it petered out a bit. There wasn't really much going on. But we did have time to concede. Estonia scored just on the hour mark. Just after that, Antman's goal was ruled out, and yeah, they sort of seemed to go back up the pitch. They got a corner, whipped it in, and they scored from the corner. It was 2-1, and I mean, there was a raft of substitutions from both sides.
It was officially classed as a kind of, well, they called it R Ma or Dalut, but kind of like a, it's not a competitive game. I suppose it is a friendly, really, in to all intents and purposes. But so both teams made six changes, which back in the day used to be the ruination of a penalty, and nowadays it's not far off from being normal, is it? But
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
it's a
it.
lot of changes going on there.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, we saw Peltola came on, Nikolai Alho came on, Daniel Hawkins, Rasmus Schuller, Pukki and Poyanpalo came on.
And then Peltola went back off again.
Poyanpalo, he had a shot like towards the end, but yeah, the game sort of fizzled out, and we came away with a 2-1 win. I mean, I was just asking you before, mate, if you knew what the attendance was, because some of the pictures seem to show quite an empty Olympic stadium. But I think you said there was what, 15,000 in
I
there?
thought I heard something like 12 or 15
Okay.
thousand. I mean, I'm looking now at an app that is telling me the capacity of the ground and not the actual attendance, which is very helpful.
Well, you know, the capacity at the ground is how many tickets they did sell, because everyone was expecting a playoff final against Poland.
Yeah, quite right.
But no. Seriously though, the people who actually were at the match said, you know, despite the attendance being quite low, the atmosphere was brilliant. The Pohjoiskara were doing their thing; they were in good voice and cheering the lads on. And yeah, it was quite a special evening for Pohjoiskara, really, because long-time capo Mika has sort of hung up his megaphone and called it a day. So he won't be climbing on the scaffold and conducting all the fans anymore.
Is he too old for that, all that nonsense, or
I don't know if it's that, mate. I don't know if it's that. Let's just say he's exploring other opportunities that will keep him away from Helsinki for a while. So
okay, good
so
for him.
Yeah, he's already telling us that he'll be back for some Helmerit matches. So he's not gone completely.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, it was quite nice. There was a Halalito and did a little video showed Robin Lord and Nulli and Lukas Radetzky going up and giving Mika a bit of a present to see him off and a big hug. So that was really nice. And I must say that he does leave the megaphone in safe hands. So there's a couple of guys who'll take over from him and don't, you know, no need to worry. The singing will continue abreast, mate. So that's all good.
You mentioned before there about how many people were in the ground, and one of those people was our very own Mark Hayton. So he sent us some pictures before the game, and it looked very empty. But by the time the game started, it was looking a bit fuller. But let's hear now from Mark and what he experienced at the Finland Estonia game.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, so the Estonia game. Interesting it was. I think it wasn't one that lived long in the memory, that's for sure. Before the game, all the talk was about whether Rivia would last or whether he would announce something during the game. In the walk up to the stadium, yeah, I felt sorry. There's a lot of promotional activity going on for like the Veikkausliiga and for a lot of other Finnish football related stuff, and there just wasn't really a crowd gathering. The march was, you know, rambunctious as usual, which was good to see, but yeah, in the sort of party fan zone outside the stadium, it was a bit dead, which was a bit of a shame. Then we got into the game. I think the official attendance was like just under 13,000, and I think we spotted with our mates probably, I think we thought it was about a third full, so probably a bit less than that. One thing we noticed actually in the setup was the pitch was an absolute disgrace. It was like a potato field. When the lads were out there doing the warm-up and they were doing shuttle runs, three or four of them dug into the turf and just ripped pieces of grass off it. So the pitch was in a really, really bad state. For all the press that we'd seen around how much it costs to keep and to maintain, that wasn't good. And then we got into the game, and the game, you know, partly because of the pitch also, but partly because of the general atmosphere, it wasn't anything really to write home about. We got a penalty early doors that settled the nerves. Jensen's penalty was really poor, but he put the rebound in, so we were quite happy. And then about half an hour in, Antman has a good run down the left-hand flank, sticks it in. Jensen at the back stick, hits a shot, hits the bar, hits the kid in the back of the head. Keeper flaps at it and somehow ends up crossing the line for 2-0. From then on, we did, I think, what the usual Rive tactics are. So we kept the ball a lot, moved them around, threatened occasionally every now and again. If we'd have had better shooting boots or the pitch had been better, maybe we'd have got something more, a couple more goals out of it. But we didn't really look like we were going to dominate. And every now and again, Estonia had a counterattack that looked like it might really hurt us. So we were the better team, but not, you know, not by streets and streets. Second half, much of the same. But on the hour mark, Estonia got a goal back. Well-worked corner, although it's a pretty low cross. Anier wins it at the near post, flicks it on. Back post, Tam just taps it in. The marking for both those guys was pretty bad. But having said that, Estonia never really looked like Nick in it, and every time we ran at them, so Antman and Chelman and Koron, and they all had pretty effective dribbles forward where they would beat three or four Estonia players if we'd had a better finish on us. I think we'd have done well. I think Jolle had a good chance towards the end. We had a Antman had a goal ruled out for a really small offside after a good 1-2 with Chelman. So we were, from the footballing perspective, pretty good. But the game was, the game was, it was what it was. I think a lot of us had our hopes up for Wales, and we were still feeling the hit from Wales. Next up, we play Portugal as their prep for the Euros. I can't see that going well, with how we're playing. There's no news about Canerva and his future yet, so I think everybody's just waiting to see what happens next. I mean, the fans that were there did make a good atmosphere. It was really good to see Niskanen back. He's got bigger, so he looks like he might be a really effective fullback slash wing back in the future. I like the look of him. Antman looks like he's recovered pretty well from his injury, which is good. Apart from that, there wasn't really that much to write home about. Maybe the Jensen brothers. So yeah, Freddie looked took his finish well from the rebound, but at the back, I think we looked more. Richard Jensen looked pretty solid, and we looked a bit more physically able to cope with the threats. Although again, Estonia really weren't up to much in this one, so. It was a good night, a couple of beers, good atmosphere, good singing and shouting, but not a great deal on the pitch, and still a lot of questions about how we move forward as a team. So that's the report from Olympia Stadion.
Okay, KK, what's the aftermath been from that 2-1 victory for Finland? Beforehand, we speculated about the future of Rive, Markku Kanerva. How has that game had any impact on the speculation?
Well, I think we're still waiting for the dust to settle, really, Mark. There was some noises coming out of Palolito that they were going to wait until after the Easter break before any sort of decision was made. We're now past the Easter break, and there's been no news whether River will stay or go or whatever. There's been a lot of noise from various sections of the Finland support, either for River staying or against it and looking for a new direction. But the support are not really the ones who make the decisions, are they? So until there's anything official, it's all just speculation, mate. But
He's got a contract until the end of the year, right?
he has, yes.
So potentially through those Nations League games.
So there's Nations League coming up. There's two friendlies coming up. I think first one we're away to Portugal in June, followed by a couple of days later away to Scotland. And then in the autumn you've got the Nations League. So whether they do stick with him through that or whether they choose to look elsewhere remains to be seen. But we laboured over the fact quite a bit in the last episode. And if there's no outstanding candidate, is it such a bad thing to let River have another crack? You know what I mean? At the Nations League, it is a tougher league. We have been promoted. A bit of a reset is required, but can River be the man to conduct his own reset? We'll have to see. But
Simo Valakari was mentioned
he was.
by you, by Mark, by others. Has anything been said about that? Any other names been thrown out there?
No, not that I've seen, mate.
Okay.
I mean, and I've just out of my own interest, I've spoke to loads of people and I've said, like, ask the same question, who would you choose? Who would you go after? Like, and yeah, there's not been many names thrown about. One that was mentioned was the most recent guy to leave the Swedish national team post. His name escapes me at the moment, but I think he's still out of work, so that was one name, but apart from that, we've not been inundated. So
No.
yeah, we'll see. But yeah, just on a little side note, I wanted to mention, you said about the aftermath of the game. I mean, yeah, we all know what happened against Wales, and we've just been through what happened against Estonia. But it seems that we spoke before the Wales game about our players being in form, and it seems they've all gone back to their clubs and after the international break, and where they've had a stinker, and continued their picked up where they left off and continued their excellent form for their clubs. I mean, we've had in the last couple of days, we've had Oliver Antmann. He's scored for Nordjyllland. Miro Tenho, who I think would agree with us, didn't cover himself in glory against Wales. He's gone back to Djurgården in Sweden and popped up with a goal from defence. So he's managed to put all that behind him. Daniel Hawkins scored for Vålerenga. Benjamin Chalmers, he netted for his Polish side, Cracovia. And Joel Poyanpalo, he scored for Venezia at the weekend as well. So yes, they've all gone back and picked up where they left off, mate. Just need to
Which is brilliant. Thanks for that, lads. Well,
I
it's good
mean,
that they keep their performance levels up. Next time, bring those boots with you when you're playing for the national team.
that's it. That's it. I mean, we all want to see them do well, and yeah, if they are performing for their club, hopefully that does translate to the national team for the next games.
Someone who didn't have such a good return from international football was Rasmus Schüller, friend of the show. And that looked like a really nasty accident. Just explain what happened to him, and listener, just thank yourself, lucky we don't have the footage to share with you. And this, and if it's the podcast, then it's audio only, because you don't really want to see what happened to him.
No, I mean that was pretty nasty, mate. He basically it was yeah first game of the Allsvenskan season. Rasmus has lined up for Djurgården. They were away. Where were they? They were away at IFK Gothenburg, and yeah, he's the game's barely got started. It's only 20 odd minutes old. Radez looked to stretch for the ball. Gothenburg players sort of come in from the side, sort of behind Radez a little bit. Rasmus has sort of been flicked up sort of into the air. When he's come down, his leg has got caught behind him, and he's landed with his leg folded back under his own body. So his body.
I'm under him and also out to the side at a really
Yeah.
weird angle. It looked awful.
Yeah, not nice. He spent quite a while, on the pitch. Obviously the medical staff come over, and he did sort of get up and with help sort of hobble off the pitch. But
Did he from that?
yeah.
Wow,
So,
okay.
but he's had a sort of all the scans and X-rays and all that business, and he's actually been operated on already. He was operated on yesterday. They've decided. I don't know the full extent of the injury, but yeah, the way he's sort of leg hyperextended, his knee sort of folded back. I don't know if it's got something to do with his knee, but yeah, he's been operated on already, and he's got a little bit of a road to get back to full fitness. So yeah, we won't be seeing much of Radek for the spring, or who knows how long it'll be. But obviously. We wish him well and a speedy recovery, mate. But yeah,
I know you were in touch with him after it happened, and you got a reply from him. I'm a bit disappointed he hasn't kept you up to date with the follow-up of the operation, really.
the full medical details. But
Yeah, but yeah, of course we wish him well, and hopefully get back this season.
yeah, exactly that, mate. That'll be the target, I think. And as I said, we've got those international fixtures in June. Who knows if that's too soon, or if we can see Radek make a return for those. But I certainly hope so, because we certainly could use his bite in midfield, mate.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's probably for now enough on the men's national team. But coming up over the next week, the women's team, the Helmerit, have got a couple of Euro 2025 qualifiers coming up. Shall we first go through the squad there and then sort of talk about who they're coming up against in those games?
Yeah, so just running through the squad quickly. Goalkeepers, Milan Maiassari, who's been doing really well in Belgium. Tinyarika Korpela. Anna Tamminen of Hamabu was initially named, but she's had to withdraw. She's got some health issue. She's had to withdraw. So she's been replaced by Talaslatti, who's now in France. I think she's playing in France. So yeah, she, Katarina Talaslatti, comes in. Across the back, Eli Pikkujämsä, she was named in the squad initially, but she's also had to pull out. She was injured in a league game in the States over the weekend, so she hasn't travelled to Finland to meet up with the rest of the girls. But then we've got Natalia Kuika, Peltonen, Emma Koivisto, Eeva Nyström, Johanna Tunnila, Anni Haatikainen, and then
Good
going into
to see her back in the squad.
now, that's it, yeah. We got into the midfield, Noora Heruam, Evelina Summanen, Ria Erling, Katariina Kossola, Olga Attinen, Emma Pelkurinen, who we got next? Oona Sirren, Vilma Koivisto, and then up front in the attacking positions, Linda Sällström, Sanni Frantsi, Jutta Rantala, Heidi Kollanen, Oona Sevenius, and Lotta Lindström, who, since she moved to England in the Women's Championship, has been doing really well. She's got a couple of goals for her new side, London City Lionesses, and they're very impressed with her down there. So yeah, that's that form has seen her into the Helmeret squad.
Have you been there to wave your Finland flag at her yet?
Yeah, but we were too early. We went down, the whole family, because it's not too far from us. We went down. They play at Dartford FC, so we went down there when they had their FA Cup game a few weeks ago against Liverpool, and we saw Emma Koivisto. She came over and had a little chat after the
Yeah.
game. But yeah, Lotta wasn't there yet. So, but we'll be back. Yeah, we'll go down there and go down and keep an eye on her.
I don't doubt it. It seems to me, apart from those couple of changes from players dropping out, there's not really any surprises. It feels to me like this Helmeret team has had its churn or its evolution maybe during last year, even. And it started to settle down by the end of the year. And now, you look at the team and think, it's good. It's what, it's there's not anyone that you think we're really missing that person.
No, I really like Eli Pikkujämsä. It's a shame that she's been injured. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I think we've got enough in there to cover for her. So yeah, I think there's strength in every area of the pitch in that squad, mate. It's decent.
Any of them done anything of note for their club sides recently? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but you do know this stuff, so.
No, yeah, I mean, I have mentioned recently how well a couple of them have been doing, but the standout performer really at the moment is Jutta Rantala in Leicester City in the WSL. She's like, honestly, goals, assists. She's pulling the strings there for Leicester City. So yeah, doing really, really well. Evelina Summanen again at Spurs, doing really well. I mentioned when I just read out the squad, Milla Mai Maiassari is keeping untold clean sheets in Belgium. So yeah, they're all doing really well. The Nordic leagues have obviously just kicked off. So see, yeah, a few of the girls in Damallsvenskan will start getting some play time now, and yeah, we'll keep an eye on them as well. But yeah, they're all doing really well, mate.
Very good. I think they're going to need to be doing well
Yeah.
over the coming weekend because there's a couple of tough games coming up. It starts on Friday the 5th with an away game at Norway.
Yes.
And I'm just digging out the. So it's a kickoff at 7 o'clock Finnish time in the evening. And I dare say that that will be. Shown on Ule, so I'll put the link to that in the blog post notes for this. We said, and it was you and me actually. We talked about this last time about how it looks like a tough group. I think Norway, obviously, they have Arda Hegerberg in their squad, back in their squad. One of the sort of standout players in the women's game around the world,
Yeah, she played. She's
went
at
on form.
yeah, she's at Lyon, who in France, who are one of the biggest clubs in the women's game. And when you look through the Norway squad, mate, there's they're all playing at a high level. I mean, you've got girls at Arsenal. Emma Kvibeke, I'll be familiar with a couple of them because there's a couple of the Norwegians are playing at Brighton and Hove Albion. There are other WSL clubs as well, Chelsea. One of Olga and Evelina's teammates, Celine Bizet, she's at Tottenham. She's a Norwegian forward, so they'll be familiar with her. But the ones who are not in WSL are plying their trade in Spain at sort of Barcelona and Atletico Madrid, you know what I mean? So yeah, they're right at the top of the right at the in the top clubs, mate. So it's not going to be easy, but I think Helmerich have they've earned the right to have a go against these better nations, so-called better nations. I mean, Norway are currently ranked 16th in the FIFA rankings. Helmerich are sitting around 27th. So yeah, 10 or so places between them. But
You're a star. I was just trying to look that up while you were talking, and I couldn't quite find the right words to search for. So good on you. So they're not the in the strongest sort of half a dozen teams out there, but still on their day, that's going to be a challenge for the Helmerit.
It is, yeah. But as I said, mate, you know, the girls have earned their right to play against these sort of opposition. So yeah, let's see how it goes. It's nil nil at the start, and we'll see how we get on.
That game's followed by a home game against Italy on the 4th. That kicks off at the Bolt Arena in Helsinki at 7:15. That's next Tuesday.
It is.
What about Italy? How are they ranked in the world standings?
So there's a couple better than Norway. They're 14th currently
Okay.
in the FIFA women's rankings. So
Is
yeah.
that world? That's for all the teams in the world.
Yes, mate. Yep.
Okay, so when you filter out some of the other teams from sort of South America and
Indeed,
other
yeah.
parts of the world that are strong, it puts them quite close to the top, I guess.
Yes, mate. They're a decent side. I mean, they're almost their squad is almost exclusively playing in Italy. Tinia Corpora, who's now at Roma, will be familiar with a few of them. There's quite a few Roma players in the Italy squad. So yeah, she'll be able to warn her Helmerich teammates for who the dangers are there. But yeah, it's Italy have got there's a little bit of youth, but it is quite an old squad on average, I would say. So yeah, you know, some of our younger players might be a bit nippy for them, but yeah, we'll wait and see what Marcos Alaranta has in store and for the tactics, and yeah, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I mean, it would be
It's good to see them having these competitive games coming back around again. It's
exactly that, mate.
always more exciting, isn't it, to see competitive games that really mean something.
Yeah, and it's no, it will be. It would be nice to get some points on the ball over this, over these two fixtures. I mean, the next two fixtures are in end of May, beginning of June, I think, which is,
Well, those next two fixtures both against Holland, you mean?
yeah, double header, yeah, double
Oh
header,
man alive.
Holland away and Holland at home, and yeah,
Brutal.
the Helmerich are on tour because the Holland home game is at Pamela Stadion in Tampere, so.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So it is.
Yeah, so yeah, they're not playing all their games in Helsinki. They're going on tour, so I think which I think is great. It gives you know gives a lot of fans the opportunity to go and see them in their in a maybe a more local stadium
Yeah,
rather than.
I'm thinking actually that's just a couple of hours down the road.
There you go.
That said, that's my boy's birthday, so let's see. Oh,
Perfect,
okay.
perfect birthday present for him.
Yeah, for a 21-year-old that doesn't like football,
What?
he'll love it.
You have
I
failed
know.
in life.
What can I say? He has other qualities, just
Yeah.
not his football supporting ability.
Oh, mate.
All right, well, I guess that we should be back in the after those games, anyway. I don't know
We
exactly
will.
when, listener. And we'll look back at those. So, Keke, let's make sure that you and I are taking notes.
Yep.
No excuses for the competitive games.
No, that's it, mate.
I'm telling myself, really.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that just about wraps up this international episode of the Finnish Football Show. Listener, we're going to do our very best to get a Veikkausliiga preview episode to you, before the Veikkausliiga starts. Otherwise, it's not much of a preview.
Which is very soon.
It is very soon. It's Saturday the 6th, I think, of the first games. Or start with a full fixture list as well. So,
Which is nice, yeah.
yeah, it is. It is. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be chilly up here, but we have Oulu coming. So, Max, if you're listening, that's 3 points you're down already. And I reckon also not just Max from Noniin Jalkapallo blog, but also Ashley Coffey, who I chatted to during the Liga Cup. We're gonna give you a bit of bants. It's all good stuff. They like it as well.
Ah,
There's
that's it, yeah.
Callum Ward as well. They like to have a little bit of fun with us. So we'll have some fun with them, and then probably take all the points from us as well. That'll teach me. Keke, thanks for being here.
Ole hyvä, näkemiin.
And until next episode of the Finnish Football Show, listener, thanks for listening. Goodbye.
You've been listening to the Finnish Football Show. You can find us online at finnishfootballshow.com. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you're listening or watching. You can follow the Finnish Football Show page and group on Facebook and also on Instagram. Escape to Suomi on Twitter is now Finnish Football Show on X. And you will find us on Blue Sky at Finnish Football Pod. See the links in the episode description, along with the links to the Finnish Football Show merch list.